I'm only tongue over the story because it's already been publicized, but I've kind of kept this story to myself for about 10 or 12 years. And it's a story that has to do with something that would be disturbing for many people, but I'm going to explain to make it less disturbing or more understandable, I hope. There was a gadol that was nifter last week, Rav Moshe Shapiro, somebody who had a tremendous effect on my life in terms of exposing me to the works of Maharal and changing very much the outlook of how I see the world. And a tremendous amount of karas hatov for him, or to him. About 10 years ago, every Thursday night for about 8 years, I'd go to his shir. And 10 years ago, when I was attending the shir, he would speak very methodically, very slowly, and he would work stage by stage. He would tell you a concept, he would let you think about that, and maybe there'd be like 30 seconds of silence, and he'd move on to the next topic and build and build and build for, you know, a good hour and a half, sometimes hour 45 minutes. And one time, we were sitting in a room, much bigger than this room, but if you can imagine for a moment, if I would be Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, giving the shir, okay, there was one exit out of the room, which was here, to my left, and the entire place was filled, right, to maximum capacity, a huge room, one exit. So he was saying over the shir, and as he was in the middle of the height of explaining the concept that he was talking about that week's parsha, I don't remember exactly which parsha was anymore, but it was during the winter time. All of a sudden, a flash went off in the middle of this year. A photography flash. This is, you know, probably 10, 12 years ago. A flash went off. Silence. Mid-sentence, Ramosha stops, silent. A minute goes by. 2 minutes go by. Now, we're talking about a room of at least 300 people. Seasoned Talmidei Chachamim, and then people like me, and every other regular person out there. But Talmidei Chachamim sitting there as well, you couldn't hear a pin drop. Quiet. 2 minutes. All of a sudden, Rav Moshe is looking down at his shtender. He doesn't have any notes. He never brought notes. He had a photographic memory. Everything was by memory. He didn't have notes, but he was looking down at his shtender. And he looks up at the crowd, and he says, Tzei b'vakasha, which means, please leave. Silence. You didn't hear a chair moving, you didn't hear anything. He looks down again, literally as intense as those first 2 minutes were. He stood there, waiting another minute, and nobody got up. So he looks up again, and he says, O atateitse, o anietse. Either you leave, or I leave. So another 20 seconds go by. I'm not exaggerating the story one bit. I was there, I promise you, everything that happened is exactly how it happened. Except maybe the 20 seconds part, maybe it's 30 seconds. All of a sudden you hear a rumbling of chairs. Literally, from the last chair in the right corner, at the end, you hear somebody getting up. Right? I'm in the front row. Rav Moshe, you know, is a few people away from me. So a guy gets up, and he has to walk the entire length of the room, the perimeter of the room. He has to walk in front of Rav Moshe Shapiro, out in front of me and everybody else, and then he goes out of the room, white, his face white. And then Rav Moshe went on with the shir. So anybody who doesn't know Rav Moshe Shapiro, and even people who do know him, were obviously wondering, you know, why it's a little bit harsh. It's just a picture, you know, what's the big deal? Why he could have just ignored the picture, he could have ignored the flash and gone on with the shir. Why did he feel the need to do this tremendously embarrassing thing for this guy? So I think I have pshat, but I want to say over what I want my message to be to you, and then I'm going to explain what Rav Moshe was, possibly what Rav Moshe was thinking. I never asked him, I never had the audacity to ask him. Rav Moshe Shapiro was somebody who was a melech. You know, as Rav David he always talks about his experiences with Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal and Shir, and the pachad and the fear that he had of asking a question, it's the same type of fear that one would have when speaking to Rav Moshe Shapiro. I myself never asked him a question on the Parsha Shirim, even after sitting there for 8 years, because I didn't feel like maybe I was missing something, and I didn't know exactly what he was saying, and how could I go and ask him something that I didn't get very, very clear myself. So I didn't bother. I didn't bother asking. So what's Peshat? So I think the Peshat might could be answered in this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem says something very interesting to Moshe. He says that I saw the plight, or I see the plight of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, how they're being tortured, how they're being enslaved. Ra'o ra'iti atani ami, I see the affliction of my nation. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to release them, ki yadati at machovav, because I know their pain. So what does it mean that I know their pain? The Beis Halevi says, ki yadati at machovav, that I know their pain seems to indicate, or it seems to imply, that he knows their pain, but they don't know their pain. Right? Yadati at machovav, and they don't know their own pain? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows their own pain? Why is that true? This is the Beis Halevi's question. And his answer is an unbelievable answer, and I think this is a real lesson for us. For us, I mean myself and people who are out of yeshiva and alumni here. I think it's a very, very big lesson in life. And what he says is as follows. He says, a person who's involved in a situation, a slave, somebody that's enslaved in Mitzrayim, he feels pain. He feels pain here and now, feeling the taskmaster is going and hitting them, making sure they have the quota of bricks that they need to build the buildings, or you know the pain of seeing a child thrown into the sea, seeing their face shoved into a pillar in order to make another brick for a building. That's pain that they definitely felt. But quite possibly, what's even more painful, or would even add to the pain, is to know the potential of a slave and to see somebody sitting as a slave instead of fulfilling the potential that they have and that they had prior to this. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see, or is able to see, who Bnei Yisrael was before Avram, Yitzhak, the Yaakov, and the Shiftei Kah, and the Shivim Nefesh, I came to Mitzrayim, old Tzadikim, on the highest levels and revered by everybody in Mitzrayim. Then to see them in the Mem Tesh Shari Tumah, to see them all the way down, that's tremendously painful. And that to add salt to the wound, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see what they could become. How much power, how much koch they really have, and instead they're sitting in this enslaved mentality and in this position, this predicament. So that is extremely painful, quite possibly even more painful than the blows that the Jews were feeling in Mitzrayim, because they didn't know any better. They didn't know their potential. They thought of themselves as slaves. They didn't know that they could be any greater. If you think about it, two generations in, they didn't have no connection to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. They didn't have no connection to Shvatim. They were slaves. They had no idea what potential they really had. And that's the pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt. So that's Kiyadat Yat Machovav. I'm gonna release them because I know what they can be. And that's the pain that I'm feeling right now. It's more painful than their pain because they don't see the potential that they really have. They're too much in the here and now. They're not connected to their inner selves. They're not connected to really what they could become and to what they have. I was thinking about two nights ago what to speak about, and I came across this Beis Halevi a little bit later than originally as I planned. So I went, but I thought it was a beautiful vort, and I think it's a beautiful lesson for us to learn. Even more than that, I saw Rav Volbi had a letter that he wrote to a 20-year-old. I have a sefer at home, Rav Volbi's letters that he wrote to different people, and one of the letters were entitled "What You Would Say to a 20-year-old." So I know many guys here are, you know, above 20, but Lemaisa, the 20-year-old that Rav Volbi was speaking to, probably puts you in the same, a little bit of the older guys actually, puts them in the same category. And what he writes to the 20-year-old is really unbelievable. He says, maybe I'm embellishing a little bit based on other Sfarim, but this is really what he meant, is as follows. A person when he's 20 years old, 21, 22, 23 years old, even go 25, until you're married, a person is obsessed in the here and now. He's always constantly answering questions about himself, What should I be doing in this situation? What classes should I be taking? You know, where should I go on Motzei Shabbos? What should I do Sunday as, you know, for a little bit of rest? What, you know, where should I go with my friends? What should I be learning with my friends? Every question, you're almost obsessed with in the here and now, and we're like the slaves in Mitzrayim. But we're not appreciating the pain of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where we could step back for a moment and think of, okay, stop answering the questions of here and now. Stop thinking and being obsessed in the semester right now, in the job offer right now, in the weekend, in the week, whatever it is, and more globally, we're able to think about ourselves in more into the future. How are we going to look in the future, and not about what's going to the here and now? Right in the here and now is being a slave in Mitzrayim. But the ability to look beyond that, a person's ability to say, I don't want to just look at them at the pain right now or at the situation right now, but I want to try to emulate like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's able to see in the big picture. What am I going to be in the big picture? How can I answer the questions of what decisions am I going to make that will define who I am further on, not just right now? I don't have to act a certain way because that's what the popular thing is to do right now. I don't have to think a certain way because I'm with a bunch of friends that think along those lines. But I have to kind of form myself into a somebody that I will be able to answer, yeah, I'm on the derech, I'm on the way of how I want to be in 5 years, how I want to be in 10 years, how I want to be in 15 years. Because if you don't do that right now, as you are post-yeshiva, if you don't do that, and you don't have some time for what Hasidim call hispodidus, but it's a real thing, and Rav Volbi talks about it. And he says to the slur, he says, take 5 minutes a day, step back and try to answer the questions for yourself of where am I going to be? What am I going to be? Not what am I doing right now? Because if you don't do that from time to time, if you don't step back and think to yourself, how am I going to answer the question of who am I going to become, not who I am right now, so then you're a slave in Mitzrayim, and you're never going to realize your potential. And the scary part is, if a person doesn't do this, and I have to say that I find in many places, when I was in YU also, I don't know if things have changed, is that we get caught up in this, about how we're defined right now, not so much what we want to be in the future. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. And that's the pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling, that the Yidden in Mitzrayim, the Jews in Mitzrayim, were not realizing what the potential, what they can become. They were just answering the questions of the here and now. Let me deal with the blow. Let me see how I could survive another day. But not realizing they have to move on from that, because you're going to have to define yourself and grow based on that definition of how you see yourself. That's in the decisions that you make, the job that you decide to take upon yourself, and ultimately the girls that you date and the girl that you marry. Because if you're not clear about yourself right now, and you're just defining yourself as you are right now, or the circle of friends that you have, so that's a dangerous place to be in when you have to make big time decisions. Because a person ultimately, if it comes to marriage, they're going to have to find somebody that they can say that this girl is somebody that I want to see myself growing with, not just how I see myself right now. You can't define yourself right now. You have to look ahead of the game. And that requires a person to redefine themselves, introspection, and to look at themselves, how they learn, more importantly, how they daven. What's your connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? If a person doesn't understand tefillah, if he doesn't take time to think before he davens, after he davens, did my davening go well? Did I space out too much? Am I too worried about my finals? Am I too worried about my job? And you don't take the time to care about your tefillah. So again, tefillah defines you. What's your relationship? Just like you're defined by your relationship with your friends, you're defined by your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to take ourselves out of the game for a moment, a few times. We should do it a few times a week, and I could probably do it every single day. But just to say, you know, let me hold stock of the situation and see where I am, how I define myself. Doing that really makes a person serious about his life. And until he does that, he's not serious about his life. You could just go on, and I'm telling you from personal experience, I'm guilty of this also. I come and I wake up in the morning, I go to shacharis, I take care of my children, and I come and I teach in yeshiva, and I go home, take care of my kids again, go to night seder, come home, speak to alumni, and then, you know, pass out on my bed and hopefully get a few hours of sleep. But you do this, and you go on and on and on. And this is somebody who's speaking to somebody who's involved in Klei Kodesh all day. Kol Shekin, somebody who's not involved in that, has to do it all the more so. And you don't realize the years are going to go by before you actually be able to stop and realize that I can't be a slave to the present time. But I have to look a bit. I have to look beyond and see how I define myself in the bigger picture. That is all. That is all dependent on how seriously you take your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how seriously you take learning Torah and your connection to Torah. That ultimately will define you. Now, what happened that night with Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal is as follows. I think he always would explain to us that when a person's giving over Torah to somebody else, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu giving over to Yeshua. Like it says in Avos, Moshe kibot Torah miSinai, u'masr leYeshua, v'Yeshua leZakenim. What it doesn't mean that Moshe kibot Torah miSinai u'masr leYeshua. Moshe accepted the Torah at Sinai, and he gave it over to Yeshua. What does it mean? What did he give over? He gave over Sinai? What does that mean? He didn't give over Sinai, he gave over Torah. So Moshe, if I remember, I never want to quote him directly because maybe I'm misunderstanding him, but I think this is a shot, I think this is what he said. Masr le'Yeshua means as follows, is that when a person gives over Torah to somebody else, he's giving over an experience. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu experienced at Har Sinai, a clarity of how we're supposed to live our life, that's what he gave over to the next generation, and that's what our fathers do to us, and that's what Mirtz Hashem, what you guys will do to your children, what I try to do to my children. Every generation, you're giving over an experience, you're not just giving over ideas. You're not giving over laws. You're not giving over halachos. You're giving over a way of life. And this is what Rav Volbe is telling this guy, is that you have to think about your life. To Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, his giving over a shir was his entire life. And if somebody had the chutzpah to think that it was a moment, a time to be taking a picture, then he was missing the whole point. And it was an insult to him, to Rav Moshe's Torah. It was an insult to Rav Moshe's, the whole idea of what a shir is. The whole idea of the seriousness of the Torah—it's not a time for pictures. It's not a paparazzi. It's not a wedding. It's something that a person's giving over and building his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that lesson had to be taught to the whole Am, because that picture, somebody taking a picture, was taking a chance and basically giving a message that this is like an entertainment, and it's anything but that. And that's how we have to look at our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so our relationship is not something that's defined right now. It's a very, very, it's much bigger, broader spectrum. It's something that we have to think about every single day. And if we're not going to do it every day, some few times a week to take a step back, look at ourselves and say, I don't want to just be that slave in Mitzrayim, or that slave to work, or slave to homework, schoolwork, or actual work, whatever it is. But it's how am I going? How do I define myself? And how is all these things together going to help me to grow to become the best Talmud Chacham and Ben Torah that I possibly can become? Have a good day.